Okay, again, we're going to be coming from 2 Peter, chapter 1, and we're going to move down to verse 10 if we can make it. Make it to that on tonight, but we'll go ahead and pray and get ready. And Father, y'all, we just come to you just to glorify your name as you are the Most High, y'all. You are the Yah of all gods, and we just bless you for that. We kind of a privilege just to have the opportunity to be in your presence and to be called your children. And we glorify you for all that you do. And the wonderful name of our Savior, we do pray. Oh, sure. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of Yah and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Yah and of Jesus our Lord. Now, when you look at the word knowledge, we'll see a difference in the word knowledge, and so I want to deal with it now. Deal with it now, because as we have found out in Scripture that you know when you see a word, it doesn't always necessarily mean the same thing throughout Scripture. And so we're going to look at this word, and then we'll move into other areas of it, and if the definition changes, then I'll show it. Okay, again, now the word knowledge here is defined as recognition, acknowledgement, full discernment. And so when you look at verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of Yah, discernment, okay, recognition of Yah, acknowledgement of Yah, and of Jesus Christ. So it's acknowledgement of Yah and of Jesus Christ. We know that that we cannot accept the Father without accepting the Son, and so or having knowledge of the Son, of the acknowledgement of the Son. And so it lets us know that grace, we know that we've dealt with some things from the perspective of grace, so we understand that that grace is the favor of Yah, but at the same time we understand that Christ is the source. And so when you look at it from this verse that we're looking at, since Christ is included, it lets us know that even grace itself in this passage has somewhat of a different meaning. Okay. And so when you look at it again, verse 2, it says grace, which means joy. Okay, we know that we deal with grace in other passages. We know that it's the favor of Yah. Well, we know the favor of Yah is the gift of Yah Christ. And so, but when you look at grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of, so joy. So it's letting us know that joy, liberality, pleasure, okay, graciousness, and peace. Now, when you look at peace, it deals with rest. Okay, it also has association with prosperity. So when you hear someone talk about prosperity from a English point of view, a person always associates that with some form of material wealth in one fashion or another. But at the same time, when you look at the prosperity that the Bible wants us to understand, because Paul made a statement when he was in certain circumstances, he said, he talked about his circumstances, and he basically said, in a nutshell, there were times when I was abounding, I was doing well. There was a time when I was abased. I mean, I was having some difficult times. You know, he said, there are times I've been full, there are times I've been hungry. He said, but whatever state I've learned to be content. Well, that's a prosperous individual from the perspective of the kingdom. And what the church has done has brought in prosperity from a materialistic point of view without giving the balance to understand it that you can have all the money and all the material things that this planet can produce, but still may be prosperous from the perspective of Yah, because prosperity from the perspective of Yah has to do with peace. Okay? And you can have a person who has a whole lot of money or material things, but yet they don't have peace of mind. They don't have, they're not peace as far as, they're peace or prosperity as far as their health is concerned. Their journeys are not successful, you know. And so when you look at it from that perspective, and then you see what grace is, it's joy. Just kind of keep it in, we just going to pull one word out. We look at joy and, joy and prosperity. Be multiplied, peace. That's what prosperity is. It's peace, okay. And then when we have peace, if peace or prosperity according to the Bible, then it puts us in position where we don't have to look at or be in a position where we're trying to see what's in our bank account or you know how things are going as far as you know our job is concerned or things as far as, you know, the material things, like I was saying a little bit earlier, is concerned. But we understand that prosperity is peace. You know, when we have true prosperity, like what Paul said, whatever state we're in, we're still prosperous. And that's why it's so perverted in the church now, to the point to where you have churches who will go into tremendous debt because they're trying to walk in that prosperity. That has infiltrated into the church and gave people a wrong perspective on what prosperity actually is. And so, I've heard some say, I know my pastor would say a lot, he would say prosperity is nothing missing, nothing broken, and nothing lacking. Well, when you look at that in a nutshell, that's peace. In a nutshell, when you have peace, it doesn't boil down to what you have or doesn't have. It boils down to the state of mind. He will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. He will keep us in prosperity. We will always prosper or experience prosperity as long as our mind on Him, stays in Him. Our minds are connected. We're in Him, okay? So, again, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. Now, when you look at the word knowledge again, it's through the acknowledgement, full discernment of Yah. We always have joy, and we always have prosperity, peace. We always have joy, we always have peace, we always have grace, peace. Grace and peace as long as we acknowledge Yah on a daily basis. Always keep us with peace, okay, and grace. Then it says, through the knowledge of Yah and of Jesus, our Lord, Jesus, our Jehovah, according to His divine power, has given unto us all things. We have all things through His divine power. All things that pertain to life, okay, Zoe, okay, all life that pertains, let me read it again, according as His divine power has given. Now, when you look at divine power, God-like, that's where the word Godhead or divinity comes from. Power is dunamis, that's where the word dynamite comes from. So when you look at according to his divine, his godlike, divine dunamis power has given unto us all things that that pertains unto life, Zoe. Zoe is the God kind of life in a nutshell. Okay? Unto life and godliness. Okay? And so it says through the knowledge now, again, same word again, through the acknowledgement of him that has called us to glory and to virtue. To glory and to virtue. Okay? Glory is dignity, okay, and worship. Dignity is also worship, and pray and virtue is excellence. Okay, so in a nutshell, it says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertains to God life, God-like life, Zoe, the God kind of life, and godliness through the knowledge, acknowledgement of him that has called us to glory. And virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Okay, let me scroll down. Divine nature having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay. Then it says, and besides this, given all diligence, add to. Okay? Now, he's given us everything that pertains to life. Now, from all the verses that we've looked at now, we have joy, we have peace, we have prosperity through the knowledge or acknowledgement of who he is in our life. Now, he tells us now, he says, now, verse 5, and besides this, given all diligence, add. Okay, give it all diligence. Be diligent. Don't just get that. Make it our business. Okay, make it our business. Make it a mindset that we really be adamant about what we're about to discuss now. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now we understand from a certain perspective that faith is. You know, every time you hear faith, it deals with it from a perspective of us trusting in Yah. So every time you hear faith, then you associate that with Yah. Yeah, we can have faith in individuals, but at the same time, when you want to use faith in the right perspective, we want to put our complete trust in Yah. And so he says, add to your faith, trust in Yah. Add to your faith, virtue. Or faith, virtue. And when you look at, again, the word virtue, it means excellence. Add to your faith or add to your trust, excellence. Okay, add to your trust, excellence. Always put yourself in position, or we should always put ourselves in position where we're always perfecting that trust. Okay? We can constantly be diligent about perfecting trust. It's a process. All of us can, you know, we all have a story about how we first started out with Yah, how we first started out, and how we didn't understand certain things, and the trust was there, but it your trust may not be where it is now. So through your love for Yah, or your acknowledgement of Yah, like the verse says above, I believe verse 3, through your acknowledgement or our acknowledgement with Yah, then it causes us to be diligent about, it causes us to be diligent about perfecting our faith. Okay, I trust Yah, but I trust him a whole lot. When I first got saved, so to speak, you know, figuratively speaking, when I first got saved, then my trust in Yah got me to that point. Well, over the years, the continued trust and being diligent about that has caused me to perfect my faith or trust to the point to where it has me where I am now. And there's still a whole lot of room to grow. Okay? And so verse 5 again says, besides this, giving all diligence. Be diligent about it. I want to deal with the word diligent because it's vitally important. Make it your business. That's why I keep saying the word business. Make it your business. Be earnest about it. Okay? It's from the word speed. When you're diligent about something, it's not only that you're persistent in it, but it shows a haste associated with it. I'm not only diligent trying to accomplish the goal, but there's haste associated with it to a certain perspective. And so that's what he's saying to us in this verse. He said, now in perfecting your faith, are giving all diligence to perfect that faith. Be speedily. That's why I always make the statement. I say, whenever I hear something or understand something from the perspective of Yah, when I understand something on what Yah is showing me in his word or what he's saying to me, you know, through prayer or whatever, what he's leading me, you know, being led as he's leading me, as he's driving us, then, you know, as he drives me, once I come to the realization that he has driven me to a point of understanding, I'm diligent about it from that point on, meaning that I adjust to what I understand immediately and I keep diligently, or I make it my business to stay the course of what he's now given me to understand. That's why I always make the statement. I say, when Yah show me or when Yah says something to me, I adjust quickly. That's diligence. Not only do I adjust, but I do it speedy. So what he's saying to us in this verse, he said, be speedy. Be speedy about the business of perfecting your faith. Be speedy about it. Be diligent about it. Not only be persistent, but every time you come into the knowledge of something, every time we come into the knowledge of something, then we'll adjust quickly, speed. Okay? Now, he says now, and besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, add to faith, trust in Yah, add to that excellence. Okay? And once we trust in Yah, then be excellent about it. Don't have to do it. When we come into the knowledge of Yah, be excellent about it. Add to our trust now excellence. My desire is just not to trust Yah, but I want to perfect my trust in Yah. I want to be excellent in my trust in Yah, and I encourage each one of you to do the same. Okay? Add to your faith now virtue, and to your excellent knowledge. Okay? Now when you look at this word knowledge, it's different from the perspective of when we looked at the first part of knowledge in verse 3. In verse 3 says, through the knowledge of him. So when you look at the knowledge of him, this is discernment or acknowledgement. So when it says through the knowledge of him, in order for us to understand him, it has to take place through discernment. Okay? Through discernment or recognition. Okay? Through the recognition of him that has called us, verse 3. Now, when you get down to verse 5, this knowledge changed now. Because he said, okay, once you now have the acknowledgement of Yah, okay, once you have the acknowledgement of Yah, once you recognize that he's in your life, that he's leading you, he said, then be diligent now to trust him. Be diligent to trust him. Now, once you're speedily being diligent, speedily trusting Yah, then he says, then you add excellence with that. Then from your excellence you add knowledge. Now this word knowledge is where the word science comes from. Okay? The word knowledge here in verse 5 is gnosis. So when you look at gnosis, or the Greek meaning of the word gnosis, it's knowledge, it's science. This is where science comes from. So anytime somebody sit down and try to tell you something from a scientific point of view, that is knowledge, okay? It is knowing, knowledge, science, okay? And so, you know, when you look at knowledge, it means, so as science, you know, and that's why things are so off track in a lot of ways as far as science is concerned. The science in a nutshell is human knowledge, okay? Add to your virtue knowledge, science. Now, okay, and to knowledge or science, temperance. Now, when you look at temperance, it's self-control. Okay, and we need self-control because the next thing we gotta add lets us know we can't have the next one without having self-control. Because it says, add to your knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. Okay. Continuance. When you look at patience, that's endurance. So in order for me to have patience now, I gotta have self-control. Okay? Because you know it's difficult for me to have patience without having self-control, temperance, self-control. Okay. Then it says patience, and the patience godliness now. You know, that's why the scripture says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, patience, endurance, temperance, self-control. It manifests godliness, okay? And we add godliness to that. Verse 7, I want to get to verse 10. That's really what I want to do. Verse 10 says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. That's where the word Philadelphia comes from. That is, that's where you get it where it's you know, that's why they call Philadelphia the city of brotherly love, because that's the actual definition of the word Philadelphia. And so brotherly kindness is Philadelphia. That's why again they call it the city of brotherly love. So when it says and to godliness, you add brotherly love, okay, from a perspective of fraternal affection, kindness, love of the brethren. Okay? There are different facets of love. There's a brotherly love, then there's agape love. Agape love is love that has no conditions on it. It is really, all of them are facets of Yah's love, but agape love is the facet of God's love where there are no conditions. You'd be like, I just love you no matter what. That's agape love. Well, this here is brotherly love. Okay. Brotherly love or brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, charity is the agape. So it lets us know that these things happen to us over time as we add one thing to another. I can't operate in God's love or Yah's love without, first of all, just starting to operate in just brotherly love. Y'all say, how can you love me and you haven't seen me and you hate your brother that you see every day? Because he gives us the true understanding of what love is about. So when you have people operating in society that's hating one another, when you have people that hate a certain race of people and then turn around and say, but I have the love of God. The scripture says that's a lie. It says you got to have brotherly love, Philadelphia. You got to have Philadelphia love before you can think about y'all's, the next facet of the, or the highest facet of y'all's love, which is agape, unconditional, or charity. And so it amazes me how many people we see a society that will claim that they know and love God, and then you hear the things that they say, whether that's on your job, whether it's on Facebook, you know, whether it's, you know, in some form of social media, you know, in church settings, you name it, any perspective as far as life is concerned, you hear people talk about how they have the love of God, but then yet turn around and show, you know, racism or prejudice or for whatever reason or another toward a human being, and then turn right around and say, well, I have the love of God. That's crazy. But he shows the process. Verse 7, he says, to godliness, brotherly love. We got to have godliness. Let's deal with that word. We got to have godliness, which is holiness, or when you look at it from a perspective whole. See, people who have problems with people are, you know, when I'm talking about from a perspective of a mindset, we know there are different things that can happen that can cause us to have certain issues with certain individuals, so that's not what I'm talking about. You know, we all may have an issue with somebody, but that's not from a perspective of godliness. When you look at it from a perspective of godliness, it is. I can. You know, I use my son-in-law here. I can be mad at Darius, but I still can operate in godliness, though. You know, he can do something to upset me, but I still operate in godliness. Meaning that I'm still whole. So what God is saying to us is it takes us being whole before we can even think about showing brotherly love. So it lets us know people who have problems with other people are people who not whole themselves. Anytime you look down on a race of people or a specific circumstance as far as a person is concerned, anytime you look at an individual for whatever reason or another and constantly put individuals down, then it shows that there's a lack of wholeness on our part. There's something wrong with us. So when you look at holiness, it means separation, but that's a small facet of it. It means separated to Yah because we are being perfected or made whole. So when you look at godliness, it says it takes patience. Add to patience, godliness, holiness, piety, whole, being whole. He said, now, whole people will love people. He said, when you start loving people, then that love will go to unconditional. But he's talking to us from a perspective of how we grow as the children of Yah. You know, there are some people that I hate the things that they do, but you know, I love everybody, and to certain other facets, I have unconditional love for everybody. But there are circumstances that may not, you know, allow me to present that though. But when I look at the overall view of how I see things as far as mankind is concerned, there are no conditions on my love. I love everybody unconditionally. Okay? That's seeing things through the eyes of Yah. But in order for me to be able to do that, I have to first of all be whole. I have to first of all be godly. Oh, God, I have godliness. That godliness now will push me into the Philadelphia, the brotherly love, brotherly kindness. And from there, I will continue to add, and before you know it, you know, we start out with faith, right? Verse 5. We start out with faith, trusting Yah. So trusting Yah ends up causing us to operate in unconditional love. And as you see, as we continue to go on, verse 8, it says, for if, and stop me if anybody got something to say from Alan. You know, I might not be looking up, so if you have something, look something. So verse 8 now says, if these things be in you and abound, see, they ain't just supposed to sit there. It has to abound. All these things have to abound. That's why its diligence should be associated with it. We have to make these things our business now, our business. And so he says, if all these things abound now, if they increase, all these things abound. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge.
Josh said, if we continue to add these things to our life on a daily basis, we start our trust in Yah, and if we end up, you know, everything between that we discussed, to the point where our love is unconditional, he said, now, if we do these things now, it'll make us neither barren nor untruthful in the knowledge of Yah. Yah said, I will always put you in a position where you're recognizing me. I will give you information. So when you look at it from a perspective of, I'm going to just use myself as an example since I'm your pastor, okay? When you look at a person, they say, okay, you understand scriptures, and there are things that Yah does, you know, and he gives you understanding in certain areas. Well, I do agree that does have something to do with what I was going to do. That's a big portion of it. But I'm revealing to you a secret, so to speak. It's not a secret, but I'm just saying it just for the fact of sake of conversation. I'm revealing to you a secret by which I continue to grow in Yah, and how I look at things and constantly come into an understanding of things. Because notice now, not only does these things that we add causes spiritual, from a perspective of the mind, or from the perspective of God things, I'll say it that way, Yah's things, is not working that way from just that perspective. Because remember, the scripture says, add to your virtue knowledge, meaning that human knowledge will manifest. And I just give you an example of what I'm talking about. Because it's like Yah says in a nutshell, because diligence is there and there's a speedily adjustment to everything that you come into the knowledge of concerning me, he said, I'll teach you how to do science things. What's science now? Human knowledge. Don't think about your science book when I say science. Think about human knowledge. I'll teach you how to repair your AC. I'll teach you how to do a lot of things according to human knowledge. Not only will I show you the things and how to operate as far as the Bible or the kingdom of Yah is concerned, he said, I'll show you how to operate as far as natural human knowledge circumstances. I'll give you wisdom in that area. I'll give you wisdom from the perspective of the kingdom, and I'll give you wisdom on how to operate in this earth. I think about Alan when he first started going up in ranks as far as his position is concerned. At TI, there were some things that he was like, he's like, man, this stuff is new. You know, he was like, you know, a lot of this stuff is like it's foreign to me. And here's the part that, you know, that I really like about it, and then knowing where he is now. It's like when he first talked about it, he's like, okay, it's not like there's this pattern that I could go look at to see how to do what I got to do. It's like there's no blueprint for me to follow. But yet this stuff got to be done, and there is no blueprint. It's like I can't go to a manual and look up all this thing. So from a perspective of what he was discussing, he was talking about science, human knowledge. He was like, okay, there's no human knowledge out there to show me how to do this. But, I mean, I got the position. I got to do it. I'm over this here, and I got to do this. Well, because there's a trust in Yah there, faith. Because there's a trust in Yah, Yah said, I give you knowledge, science. I'll teach you how to do stuff that there's no information out there. But it takes human knowledge to accomplish this. There's nothing about this that's associated to a certain perspective as far as the kingdom is concerned. He said, but when you operate in me, and you be diligent about it and add to faith, virtue. And as you continue to add long-suffering or temperance and patience, as you continue to add these things, I add human knowledge to you, and you sit down and do something that there's no blueprint for.
Pastor?
Yes, ma'am.
May I add a word of testimony?
Yeah, I can drink water.
When I was working at the University of Texas at Tyler, you know, it was a hostile work environment, and my boss even told me at one point not to ask him anything, just figure out everything myself. And I was in the next highest position to him, and it's not like I could go to him for help because he couldn't help me no way. But my point is, he had set up for everybody to go for training when they first came out with personal PCs, and I know I'm telling my age now. The personal computers came on the scene. They were only mainframes. So when the personal computers came on the scene, he had set up for everybody to go to training. I didn't even know that he had done this, everybody but me. And so I was down in HR talking, and the lady said something about us. Well, I didn't know anything about that. So the Lord blessed me to go get my own computer, and he opened that door for me to get my own computer. And I taught myself, he taught me everything I needed to know that they were going to class for. The Lord was my teacher, and he helped me to do that. So when I went into the office, and, you know, they'd be back there using this other computer, well, I didn't know anything about it. So I decided on this particular day I'd go back there and use this computer. So I'm doing all this stuff, and when he came in and saw me sitting there, you would have thought he had seen a ghost.
Mm.
But the Lord gave me the wisdom and knowledge of how to do what I needed to do. When man set a roadblock for you, if that's his intent for you to know and to have, he'll still open the door so you can get there.
Exactly. And see, that science that she just mentioned, that science, human knowledge, came from trusting Yah. She said, Yah taught me. Because I put my trust in him, then he gave me the science that was necessary to operate that computer. I mean, the first time I got a computer, I didn't know how to turn it on. I went and bought the computer and had to get my friend to come hook it up and turn it on. I didn't know the button to push to turn it off. But I was determined to learn that science. Now it's like, whatever, let's go, you know. And that's what it's vital for us to understand, that when we trust Yah, that we have no limitation. We can constantly add. We can add whatever's necessary. See, these are examples that gives us an understanding that we can add once we trust Yah. Once we get in Yah and acknowledge him, there is no. That's why I always make the statement, I can do anything. I have no limitation. I know who the source is, and the source we have is Yah, who know all things, and because he know all things, we can do anything, because he is who we have our trust in. Trust Yah. From that trust now, that's why the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ, my strength, which strengthens me, okay? He's my power. He's my exusia. He's my dynamite. I can do all things through the dynamite I operate in. You can do all things through the dynamite you operate in. Tell somebody else. Okay. Now, as we deal with this now, it says now, verse 8, and if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge, in recognition. Y'all said, you keep abounding, I always position you where you can recognize me. You will always be able to have the knowledge of me in everything. As long as you continue to be diligent about every facet of life, and whenever I lead you, add that to you. Whatever direction I'm taking you, add that to your life. When you add it to your life, I give you more. And as you add it to your life, I give you more. That's my secret, y'all. Every time y'all add something to me, I be diligent with what he adds. He said, let me get that boy some more. He kind of greedy. I add him understanding, he greedy. He don't just want that understanding. He want to add some more. He started sitting right here saying, y'all, here I am. Here you found a nut. Here I know. You don't use me, just kill me. You know, I remember the first time I said, Mama Coach said, boy, I don't know if I could have said that one. No, I did. I went to Yah and said, okay, just use me or kill me, because if you ain't going to use me, I won't be here. He said, well, I got to use this nut. He's willing to die for the recognition of me. So from that perspective, if he put that in me, the desire, I couldn't have desired like that to make a statement like that. So he put in me that desire to want to do it in the first place because he had a lot of stuff he wanted to add. As we continue to add now, he said, you will never be barren nor unfruitful in the recognition of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that is lacking in these things is blind. Now, when you look at the word blind, it just says blind, as if smoking, can't see. We're mentally, not only just a physical point, it's not a physical point of view necessarily, it's mentally. He said, if we lack these things, then we're blind. In other words, we can't see or comprehend. When we lack these things, I can't comprehend. I'm gonna say it from this perspective. See, I wanna be careful how I put this. So I'm gonna put it in a way where it's balanced. Okay, racism or prejudice. A person who is not diligent about the things of Yah for things to be added is blind to the real issues. We'll have just like the circumstance we just had as far as McKinney is concerned, you know, here locally, as far as McKinney is concerned. You see both sides, I'll stick with both sides because you not only have white people, black people on the same side with this same mindset, but you have also some white people and black people on the other side of looking at it saying, okay, the police officer was wrong. Then you have other people saying, well, the children are wrong. And so you got everybody taking these point of views, and instead of looking at it from a perspective of godliness, brother love, or godliness which adds brother love or brings us into unconditional love. See, when a person's heart is right, they can sit back and see the whole truth behind the whole thing. So regardless of what go on, I always say there's a big picture out there. It ain't just about the police doing it. It's just not about the police doing it, but we need to understand why the police did it. And understand why the child did what she did. Or the children did what they did. There has to be an understanding that brings about a big picture behind this issue. We got an issue, and the issue, I'll put it this way, and the thing that went on with the police and the police and the girl is just a symptom of the real problem. But it takes godliness and add to godliness brotherly love, and then add to brotherly love, charity, unconditional love, to be able to stand back and see what's really going on. But everybody want to point a finger and different things like that because without these things, the scripture said that's blinding. Everybody got their own. I just sit back and read stuff and I'd be amazed at how one-sided, you know, people are on one end and then one-sided on the other end. And I'd be like, okay, that's a bigger picture out there, y'all. There's this big elephant in the room. I keep trying to tell you about this big elephant in the room. None of us want to look at the elephant in the room. We see all this elephant boo-boo all over the floor, but we don't want to look at the elephant in the room. And we don't want to deal with the stench. We smell it, but we don't want to deal with it. The police and that child wasn't nothing but the doo-doo. Pardon my words. It's something deeper than that. It's an elephant that don't nobody want to deal with. And so we shovel a poo-poo around the community and try to deal with the poo-poo instead of going dealing with the elephant in the room. But love allow us to see it in bigger pictures instead of running around here shoving all this elephant dung, instead of running around here shoving all this elephant dung, let's deal with the elephant. Nobody want to deal with that. We'd rather deal with the dung. But when we start operating in godliness, which calls us to love one another as mankind, and push that love over into adding unconditional love, then we might can get some things done. But the word could have said, if we lack godliness, we're going to lack brotherly love. Let's just go our way back up. I'm just sticking right there for the sake of the time. If we lack godliness, we're going to lack brotherly love. If we lack brotherly love, we're going to lack unconditional love, because it takes all those in order to get up to that point. So if we lack those things, y'all said, okay, we're going to be barren and untruthful. And we're going to be lacking in the knowledge, or we're going to be blind to the real issues that's going on. So everybody get on each side of the street and Can I be myself and say it like I see it? Y'all show me stuff in flashes and photos sometimes, and sometimes it come across a little raw, but I have to say it like I see it. So we're on each side of the road, and everybody peeing in the middle of the street, trying to deal with it. Y'all said it's blindness. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Everybody just can see the elephant dung, and they don't see the elephant that has just dropped the dung. Cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 10, Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. That is the same word again. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, when you look at the word calling, it's from a perspective of it says here, invitation. And because all of us have been invited, Yah sent his son, when you look at it from the perspective of his unconditional love, he sent his son to die for everybody. Yet he does have a order by which these things are done. He did send his son to seek our nation, seek those who were lost as far as our nation is concerned. But at the same time, we were supposed to wake up, because he has so much love, too much love for just our nation, that he wants to spread that love abroad or increase it to all mankind. And from that, he made an invitation. So he's saying, okay, make your calling, make your invitation an election. Now, when you look at the word election, it deals with chosen. Make it sure. Okay? Make it stable. Make it firm. If we know we belong to Yah, then we need to be firm about it. And the only way to be firm is to go back up and manifest everything that he encouraged us to add. We have to be diligent to add these things, because in doing so, it puts us in a position where we're diligent in making our calling, the invitation, and the election what we're chosen to do, sure, or steadfast, or stable, firm. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. I know how to keep from falling, y'all. You just learn how to keep from falling. Now, when you look at the word fall means, I'm trying to look at a good word to deal with it. So the word fall means to sin or to offend, to stumble. And so he's saying in a nutshell that once we do these things, we will never sin. Now, when you look at the perspective as far as sin is concerned, sin is the, in a nutshell, the disobedience of the law. okay, is the transgression of the law. That's what sin is. Transgression of the law. So in order for us to understand, he said we'll be diligent about these things, then we'll not put ourselves in positions where we fall. Okay? Do I want to deal with verse 11 or should I stop? Let me see. I read verse 11 and then we'll stop now. It says, for so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Jehovah and Savior Jesus Christ. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you. When you look at the word interest, it is what it is in a nutshell. It means coming, but it has somewhat of a deeper meaning, especially when you add the rest of it. It says, for so an interest shall be ministered unto you, furnished, added, okay, unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Basically, in a nutshell, this is how we enter into the kingdom. This is how we enter into the kingdom of our Yah. This is how we operate according to how Yah operates. We add these things. We trust Him, and we continue to add these things and operate within these things. We'll always be fruitful. We'll never be unfruitful nor barren. We'll always be producing something. Yah said, I'll constantly add to you, and you enter in. You have an abundance and everlasting interest from the perspective of the kingdom of our Lord. From the perspective of the kingdom of our Lord. And so it's vital for us to do this, and we have to be sure about it. We have to be diligent about it. And when we do, we can experience some wonderful things on a daily basis from the perspective of the kingdom of Yah. All right? We'll stop on time. Anybody got any questions or comments? They're good? Y'all got it? Okay. Father Yah, we just bless your name on tonight as we've entered into another facet, or we've added another facet of understanding to our lives, and we thank you for that. We know that we're able to look at these scriptures and understand these things because you are our power, you are our dynamite, you're the source by which we move, we have our being, you are our everything. We put our trust completely in you, and we are diligent about adding everything that pertains to life and godliness so that we can please you at the highest degree. We give you glory for that in the wonderful name of our Savior, Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.